Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and this week's very special edition of the Tank Slappers podcast, I am joined by Isle of Man TT legend John McGuinness down here at Motorcycle Live in Birmingham at the NEC. John, how are you doing?
Just a bit worried about what your podcast's called, Tank Slappers. They're really, really scary, Tank Slappers. I'll tell you when you have one of them on, especially at the TT track, but joking apart, no, good. Yeah, really, really good. Early start again, I decided to come on the train today, so it was okay for the first bit. We got off at Wolverhampton and then had to change trains, and then they said there's some industrial dispute and get back on it. Then by that time my seat were gone, so I stood in the corridor, like, absolutely jammed in like sardines. But yeah, good to be here, NEC again. I still get excited about it, new bikes and things getting launched, and good to see the public and time of year, innit? You know, the bike job's sort of finished, if you like, and bit of banter, bit of yarn, and sort of listen to some of the exciting news of what'll happen next year.
You mentioned next year, that's obviously a big talking point with you. Difficult year this year from one perspective, obviously with the Norton project didn't quite go to plan, but I mean, first of all, coming back this year was in itself a big win for you after obviously 2 years out with the injury on the leg.
For me, the win was to be on the grid. I've tried to dissect it in my head. I've tried to think and wonder why and what we've done to deserve it. And, you know, we tried everything. We crossed all the T's, dotted the I's, and new 650 program on paper looked great, but probably wasn't quite ready for the track, but we give it about our best shot. Superbike has had a proven record, and then never really got going at all. I mean, I rode the 600 at Clyde's, and again, probably my worst results, but it's sort of yesterday's news now. I'm trying to think about it, I'm just trying to take the positives out of it, which was I rode. My family, friends, sponsors, and important people come out of the woodwork again to help me, support me. Electric bike lap I thought was awesome, you know. Don't mind saying so myself, you know. Yeah. But you know, me and Michael had only done one lap apiece.
Yeah.
He did beat me by 8 seconds, and respect to him there, but 8 seconds isn't a lot around there on them. So, you know, I was super competitive on a head to head bike where it was just a head to head race, you know, we limited practice where I didn't get a crack of the whip at all on the other stuff. But it's difficult because I'm scoffing her flap chap because it was free and I stole it. You know, after the TT, it was a bit sad, really. It was a bit of a sad affair, to be honest, you know. And I just concentrated on maybe the classic TT, and I rode the pattern, 500 pattern. You know, we won the race. I won it last year in 18, but quietly away, I was semi-disappointed. Didn't go that fast, you know. This year went a lot quicker on it, a much, much quicker race time, and that's why I got trying to take the positives out of it, you know, and it was good. I got to ride Steve Hislop's Norton, I got to ride my NSR 500 V-twin, you know, Goodwood Festival of Speed, Goodwood Revival, so I've done loads of cool stuff, but, you know, the big build-up to the TT never really happens, so I do get embarrassed about it, you know. I want to do well, people invest a lot of money, and, you know, the other side of the coin, could have hurt myself again or whatever. There was a few problems that we're out of our hands, and draw a line under that now and move forward.
That was the thing with the Norton. It clearly the bike showed its age, that TT, because the whole idea was to run the 1200cc engine, which Norton wasn't allowed, so I had to go back to the Aprilia motor. But in doing that, you know, you had the new BMW was coming along, you know, Kawasaki, the updated Kawasaki was there, already sort of an uphill task. But were you, you know, sort of surprised at just how difficult it was?
All I can do is, like, Stuart Garner from Norton came to me while I had a cage on my leg and said, look, you know, there's a package there. And I went to the TT in 18 to watch because I couldn't get on the grid and watch what Josh Brooks did on it. And Josh Brooks did over 131 mile an hour, which proof's in the pudding. I can't stand in the corner and justify anything else apart from that's black and white, what he did.
Yeah.
So really, we should have really matched what he did, which would have put us in the top six, which would have been a great realistic result. So, but having said that, like I say, the 1200 was pulled out of the event at the last minute. 1000 was dusted off. I didn't get any testing on it. Practice week was a disaster with no riding at all. So everything just ended up against us. Again, I look at things in lots of other ways. I look at it a bit more in deep thought. And, you know, when you finish third or fourth, you go, that's a great result. But, you know, I did 132.7 in 2015, which would have put me on the podium, really. You know, that pace would have put me on the podium this year. So, you know, I've done that, you know. And you know, Harrison and Hickey have, you know, respectfully took it to the next level. But, you know, Hillier and Connor and a lot of the others have sort of hit a bit of a brick wall. So, you know, we could have, I'm sure I could run that pace. Whether you could run right at the front, I don't know. But it's a difficult one. It's frustrating. You know, the weather was good on that Friday. I wanted to ride my bike. I wanted to ride round. Yeah, we weren't in a good place. But you know, if the bike had kept going, we'd have finished sixth or seventh. You know, we could have built off that. You know, but ended up the engine bolt snapped. It was dragging along the ground. You know, things like that haven't happened to me in the past. You know, So it's all a little bit new territory for me. You know, I like to. Maybe I've been lucky. You know, maybe I've just been lucky and riding, you know, and nothing's gone wrong. And this is what it's all about. But it was just a bit unnerving for me, a lot of the things. And, you know, if you're not riding on the crest of a wave, you're knackered. I mean, look at Rutter, we're same age, 2 days apart. You know, he's on his RCV circulating around and, you know, he's in the top six and it's realistic results. He's enjoying himself. He's earning a bob or two. Realistically, that's probably where I should be or want to be, you know.
One of the things, I remember we spoke after the TT, after the senior, and one of the things you were wanting was like a proper test program from Norton. One of our journalists spoke to Stuart Garner sort of around the Donington Super Bike time, and he, from what it sounded like, is, you know, he's not really, Norton aren't really willing to put in that much effort, because what he said was their main aim is to sell bikes, they can't get too bogged down in racing. What is the situation with you and Norton now? Is that finished or are you still in discussions with them?
Yeah, I'm still in discussions. I have to, you know, be honest with the guy and, you know, to be fair, you know, like I said before, he's paying where nobody else did. But there's still a few complications in there. Like I say, that if you get a piece of paper in front of you and you go, right, the top six, you know, Hickman, Harrison, Connor, Hillier, Rutter, what are they doing different to what I'm doing? You know, put it in layman, simple terms. What are they doing different to me? Mm-hmm. And they're riding. That's it.
Yeah.
They haven't got magic wands. They're not better, more talent than I have. They haven't got more experience than I have. Mm-hmm. All they're doing is riding.
Yeah.
Week in, week out. Where you can't just pull a Chrome Norton out of the dust and trying to do anything. You can't do it. And unless there is something together and there's an investment there and they want to go racing, you know. Norton's such a strong brand. Does it need racing? I don't know, you know. I respect Stuart, the bikes, everything about it, you know. It's Hollywood. It's Hollywood brand, isn't it? You know, me on the bike, it just didn't work. And you know, I still work for him till the end of the year or whatever we want to do. I've still got to get around the table and discuss it. There's some complications in there. There's no hiding away from that. And he knows that and I know that, so there's a few bits to tidy up, but, you know, if we want to go forward from here, then, you know, I can't just pull the bike out of the woodwork in April and start expecting to, you know, them guys are doing domestic championships, are doing, you know, BSB or Super Sport, or even Lee Johnson's sharpened his pencil there, we're doing some Super Sport, he won the Super Sport race, so.
David Todd now as well in the new Honda next year.
Yeah, Toddy's a lot better short circuit rider than everybody gives him a credit for. I think he's a road racer at the minute, but he's a very, very good short circuit rider. He's in the Honda team. Who knows where that's going to go? I remember being in that place well for a long, long, long time, you know. And, it's frustrating that they put him in Superstock to sharpen him up for the roads. You know, that's what he's there for, you know. I need to get my teeth into something. I need a program me. You know? I'm not a boss. I'm not a team manager.
Yeah.
I just want somebody to say, John, you know, we'll go to Spain in February for 4 days and get on a flight. Yeah, you know, we're going here, we're going. That's the way I like to work, and I'll do my bit, and you give me your bit back. You know, I know what I need to do, but it's finding it. Mm. You know, people might have lost a bit of faith in me. You know, I'm 48 year old next. You know, people might think he's past it. That injury's done him in. You know, will he ever get back? I don't know. And with my hand on my heart, I don't know. But I can bring more to the party than just a result, you know. Racing's got to be fun. We've got to have a laugh about things and we've got to enjoy it. And, you know, when it all comes together, then, you know, the results come, like the Macau, you know. I just come back from Macau. I was right on the pace all the way through the week, you know. So big thing for me, that. Big thing, you know. I wasn't blowing out of my arse. I wasn't puffing and panting, you know. I was just hitting the apexes, you know, on a really, really tricky circuit and did fastest time I've ever been around there. So and Rutter wins it, the old bastard. You know? He just pulls off the ultimate race win. I'm like, what? How has he done that? But hey, he was in the right place at the right time, you know. I mean, that's the way it goes. You know, you cross the line first in the restart, and that was it. Good to see Hickey not getting all his own way, to be honest. Bloody had all his own way all year. So, yeah, I mean, I need to have a look at myself in the mirror and see, you know. Funny, I got a real good, I got a message off Stuart Easton this morning. That's just I was getting up before I got on the train. He sent a picture of me, and I look a right old bastard. I mean, I was at a chat show on Thursday night in Wolverhampton. There's a picture there. I got like a fat face, bags under my eyes, and I'm. And Easton sent me a message. He's like, how would he still do it? You're nearly 50 year old, you know what I mean? He's like, still riding like a 25 year old, but it's just a disease that I can't get out of my system at the minute. But.
Join us after break. We'll be discussing more to the wheel things with John McGuinness. Welcome back to this week's Tank Slappers podcast. With me still is TT legend, road racing legend, all round good guy John McGuinness. And you talked about Macau there, obviously quite a controversial sort of thing at Macau with the race being declared after one lap. Was initially we were told, Autosport was told, that by the organisers that it wouldn't be declared a result, and then a couple hours later they said, well, actually it's part of the rules to declare it a result. What were the riders told? Because we were also told as well you didn't have any new tyres. What was the situation there?
To be honest, I was out of the race. We had a problem with that Ducati, which was just so unfortunate. And their bikes never missed a beat all year, and bloody thing had a problem. But you know, the race got stopped and then it restarted and then carnage again after one lap. But Rutter sort of nailed Licky into Lisboa. And I was like, oh, look at the old bugger. And then he crossed the line first and he stopped it. And the organisers first, like Paul Butler, was like, oh, that's it, it's a non-race. They're all going mad about it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's kicking off about people crashing and all that. Good luck to him, you know what I mean? He was in the right place at the right time, you know, that's the way it goes. I mean, Hickey would be pulling his hair out, but...
He didn't look too bothered about it when I saw his pictures on social media, him having a good laugh in Thailand, so I don't think it bothered him for too long.
I mean, there's a lot of sponsors out there, and that MGM Grand and all that, casinos, and there was a lot of dignitaries in the paddock, and, you know, stuff that's out of my zone, so a lot of lads have gone a long way and put a lot of effort in to get nothing, you know. I got nothing, I was gutted. I could have been getting flight money back for missus, because the missus came this time for the first time in 21 years, so... Cost me £600 for a flight, so I thought, if I get it top six, I'll get the flight money back. But I ended up getting nothing, so I got a penny. It's a wacky, weird place. I know it's super important for the cars. And I mean, you've got to be millimetre perfect. You've got to be absolutely on your money, and it's hard, it's hot. It's, you know, everybody's hungover and, you know, a bit of jet lag and you know, it's humid. So it's a difficult little, tricky little place. And again, me being selfish a little bit, I've not really lost anything. I only really lost four laps. So... Yeah. You know, I did all the pre-practice, the qualifying, the warm-up, so I didn't, you know, for me, again, big box ticked.
Yeah.
I went there, I was fast, come home, maybe opening doors here, there and everywhere for me, so we'll see.
Well, yeah, that was the one thing I wanted to actually ask about, because, as you mentioned, you did go really well in the Ducati, it seemed suited to you. I mean, we know how good the bike is. Scott Redding won BSB. Bautista was going to win World Superbike before he had a few crashes. It's been a good bike, and it looks like it would be a really, really good package on the roads. Have you had any discussions with Paul Bird for next year?
Like, having a bit of a laugh and a joke, the amount of deals that get done in Macau at the bar is unbelievable. You know, when the old vodka's flowing and the gin's down, the beers are going, there's a few handshakes get slapped over in Macau. You see, me and Birdie have a great relationship. It's a very, very different relationship, I think, to many riders who have ridden for him. You know, they've come in as professional and they've done a job for him. For me, he gave me my break in 1996, a long, long time ago. So we always have this. We've had our squabbles, and we've had, you know, my first British Championship, my first TT was riding for Paul. I was Joey's teammate in the Paul Bird team when Joey won three. You know, and it's funny, like, Birdie's running the team. He's half keen on going. So it's Birdie's team again. Mm-hmm. I'll be 48, and Joey won three. So it's it's quite a cool little story. But, you know, I have to respect what Stuart Garner's got. I've got to get around the table with him and see what he wants to do. Yeah. You know, if he doesn't want to go racing, then that's fine. You know, I'll shake his hand and move on. You know, if he does want to go racing, things have to change, which he knows. But, you know, I'm going to be on the grid. I think I'm going to have another ride. I can't, you know, I didn't want to finish on an engine bolt snapped at the senior TT. It's not what I ever wanted, you know. Ducati would be good. I mean, I was a little bit nervous, really, when I got there. But the bike preparation's beautiful. You know, you've got... It doesn't want for anything. It's got new parts on it. It's the engine's a certain mileage and they're changed and... I just got on it. It felt right. You know, it felt like a proper racing bike. Yeah. You know, a V4 will definitely suit the road circuit. It's a bit more revvy and stuff. Mm-hmm. The twin might be a bit not unreliable, but I don't know. A twin is quite a difficult thing. You know, I had a bit of success on them when we birdie in 2003 on the Monster Mob. The cat who finished second and third. Mm-hmm. Difficult year, but I've had a bit of history with Ducati around there, so. You know, let's get around the table with Paul. Let's get around the table with Stuart. And
the thing with that Paul Bird Ducati outfit as well is there's quite a bit of input from Bologna. You know, there's a fair amount of sort of factory support, and yeah. I suppose that would be one thing as well. Ducati seem quite keen to really dominate the world with that V4. That I think they're going to. There's rumours that they might do Suzuka next year. You know, TT would be a big box tick for them as well. So would that be a sort of Paul Bird said, look, you know, I've got Bologna are willing to put a bit of effort behind this, you fancy? Would that be something that would perhaps sway you even away from any other potential deals?
I'd like to say yes. I'd like to think if Ducati, the might of Ducati weren't involved. I know what Birdie's like. When Birdie gets something in his head, he does it right. Yeah. You know, there's been no worrying about engines and worrying about this and worrying about that, and it'll just be a proper package. And, you know, the crew chief, the Phil Ball is in there, you know, young Sam Neat, Birdie, the gang just works, you know, they will be at the TT for the right reasons, you know, because of the passion for racing, the passion of going there. Hard, it's bloody hard 2.5 weeks and you need no interference, you know what I mean? It's got to be just ride, you know, and I've looked at doing that Ducati Cup as well, which that would line the planets up even better, you know what I mean? So I get, you know, get that Ducati feel, hopefully a few people will get behind me, but like I say, it's a bit unfair to comment too much, you know. I'm sort of rambling on a bit at the minute. I've got nothing. You know, at the minute I'm on dull, so it's hard, you know. It's bloody hard, you know. I mean, there's Padgetts, there's a few of the guys that I could sort of knock on the door, and but it's just getting to that stage now, you can just see that people have lost a bit of, not faith, but just think I've lost it, which is good for motivation for me. You know, I get motivated on that, you know, that I think I can't do it anymore and one thing or another. So I'm a bit of a crossroads, really. You know, what where do I want to go, you know? And I know what I want to do. I want to ride a good bike. I want to enjoy it. And earn a few quid and then maybe bow out of the job, you know. But at the minute, it's just a bit messy. I rode that build by Suzuki at Darley Moor. I did the Stars of Darley, and you know, complete grassroots amateur track. But they have another national race in the middle of it. Cooper was there, and another kid from BSB Superstock, and that. And I loved it. I got on it. I went as fast as I'd ever done on the Honda around there. I still love getting the leg over the bike. You know, that's the killer bit of it, really. It's like a, what's the word, you know, it's bloody sitting on both sides of the fence, you know, you think, what have I got left to prove now? I must be mad, but I just still like putting the lid on and doing a bit.
Just finally, one thing you were quite excited about was Zero TT, but that's not going to be happening the next couple of years. Just give us your thoughts on that, because I met from, there's obviously sort of a mixed sort of response that some people think, well, it was kind of inevitable, but you must be quite gutted, because that Mugen project was a really, really cool project.
And I'm glad you said that. Because a lot of people say, oh, you know, you've lost your chance of a win around there, which really pisses me off, you know, because they don't ride themselves. You want to try and get with them around 120 mile an hour. It's a quarter of a ton. I'm sat on it. Bloody hard. You know, the goalposts are moving now with them. They're getting serious. I did 176 mile an hour through the speed trap, you know. And anybody who slags them off, they want to get on the back, shouldn't build a two-seater and shut up then. But I'm just genuinely, you know, regarding results, I'm genuinely upset because I really, really enjoyed working with the Japanese and Mr. Honda himself, and riding the bike and excited to see what they've done. Mm-hmm. And they've just took it from 102 mile an hour to 222 with Michael. And tell you what, Michael rode hard. He'd hold his hand. He only beat me by 8 seconds. So, but I loved it. I got on the podium, 47th podium. You know, the white leathers and just everything's cool about it. It's just different. It's just different, isn't it? You know, they visualise things. They're way ahead of us. Way, way ahead. You know, if electric bikes come out in 5 to 10 years, they need something else like BM, Kawasaki. Somebody just give them kicking shins and just rev them up a bit. They're only racing themselves. They wanted to do 120, they got that. They wanted to do 100 mile an hour back in the day, they did that. You know, there's nobody else challenging them. Mm-hmm. And I find it really sad, you know, like that Nottingham. I 100% I'm not really sure which team it is, but one that David Todd rode, and it was the late Daley Matheson's bike. It's in a university, maybe Nottingham or Bathurst.
I'm not sure,
but I tell you what, they're clever boys.
Yeah.
And I laughed at him a little bit, you know. And when Daley got on the podium, I shook their hand, you know. Just under 120 Daley did on it. Mm-hmm. And that's with no budget. And bike just looks, you know, greatest respect to them, you know. They haven't just got that finesse like Mugen or a manufacturer. Yeah. And what they could do with a bit of money, they would be on it. So I don't understand why the governments and they don't get any bracking to drive it forward a little bit. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's another option. Whether we like it or not, it's coming.
Well, the thing is, well, you see with Moto E as well, those bikes are on the sort of almost the same level as a Mugen. You'd think that if they could get a couple more, if Mugen, you know, Mugen had, what, 3 bikes on the TT, if you got Energica to put a couple of the Moto E sort of race bikes on there, give a bit of back into the university teams, you would have a more competitive grid there. It seems like there was almost an easy fix for it, but then perhaps just there wasn't really a much push for it.
That's all it needs, like you say, a couple of their MotoGP bikes. But I think MotoGP, TT, there's such a divide, you know. I think Dorna hate the TT, don't they? And then there'd be a deal where they wouldn't be able to take their Energic bikes there or whatever they call them. But I mean, if you got eight of us on decent electric bikes and one lap dash, it'd be a good race. It's exciting because it's one lap. You get one roll of the dice and you're gone. Yeah. You know, it's I quite like the format, you know, and we're always a sideshow. We're always the bloody last ones out on track. We're always the one who gets stuck out in, you know, with a cloud or mist on the mountain or something, you know. And they come halfway around the world with God knows how much of investment in that thing, and, you know, they deserve better, really, you know. All I can say is, you know, if I never get my leg over one of them ever again, what a journey. Loved it. I loved every minute of it. You know, I've got one in my bike collection. Mr. Honda gave me one. And every time I've been in their company, they opened my eyes, you know, and they've gone from where they've gone to where they are now, and it's frightening, really. It's frightening. I mean, you ride it, and electric motor doesn't know. It doesn't have valve bounce. It doesn't have RPM. It just goes. It has no end to it. You just think, well, where's the end of the line with this? If you threw a gearbox at it or something like that, you'd do hundreds and hundreds of miles an hour if you wanted it to do. But hope it comes back. I'll be too old then.
But a 2-year moratorium on it, so, you know, 2 years, you'll not be too old in 2 years' time. Rutter will still be there. He's about 473, so.
Yeah, plus that. My age will still start with the 4, won't it? Just creeping. Probably put a cap on the age limit, 50 year old, that'll be it. Nah, just, you know, I'm not finished yet, but a lot of things to tidy up. It's a bit of a mess. My John McGinnis Racing in the minute is a mess, but it won't be. It will put right, you know, because I won't let it happen. I won't let the opportunity slip. And, you know, we'll have another do.
Excellent. That's what we want to hear, John. Thank you very much for your company. And thanks for joining Tank Slap as our very first special guest. So you're an honorary slapper now, I suppose.
Done a few slappers. Thanks very much.
And thank you very much to the listeners. If you enjoyed that, you can go and listen to our other podcasts. On Google Podcasts via Google Vault Podcasts, Apple Podcasts via iTunes and Spotify. Tank Slappers Podcast will be back very soon with more MotoGP podcasts. We've got some more special podcasts lined up from Motorcycle Live, so lots to look forward to in this winter. But
waffling on, I've got a bit of TT stuff.
Thank you very much, Sean. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye.